Many cities across the country are in the midst of a residential building boom. In Washington, D.C., Seattle, Boston, Philadelphia, Denver, Charlotte, and other cities, luxury condos and apartment buildings have been going up to meet the need for new housing. Our next guest thinks most of these buildings, from an architectural perspective, are pretty boring. Sarah Williams Goldhagen is an architecture critic and author. Her most recent book is called Welcome to Your World, How the Built Environment Shapes Our Lives. Sarah, welcome.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Welcome to our world, I guess I should say.
So
when I think about these buildings, and I live in a neighborhood where there are a lot of them, and they're about 5-6 stories tall, all of them, they might be a different color, you know, green or orange or something like that, or yellow. On the side, they're usually concrete and glass, maybe the windows that don't open, and maybe they've even got a little fake balcony that nobody can go out on. But why are there so many of these kinds of buildings being built at the same time, do you think?
I mean, there are a lot of different reasons for it. If you separate it out into supply and demand, one is that that's what's being built, so that's what's cheap to build because the wheels are greased for that kind of architecture
bulk, right?
to just
yeah.
keep in happening. Buy in bulk, exactly. I mean, that's what the market has been giving, and so it's easy to give that. The second reason is that there's a general point of view both among real estate developers who are building these buildings and among clients who are buying these buildings that good design, the kind that I was just talking about, is an unaffordable luxury. And we know two things now. One, it's not unaffordable. It costs just as much to build a well-designed building as a poorly designed building. And neither is it a luxury, because the research is clearly showing that people actually respond very poorly to those bad buildings. Someone did a study of walking along buildings that was like a poor, undifferentiated surface. It was actually the side of a shopping mall. People's heart rates went up. Their cortisol levels shot up. It makes you anxious to be in enervating, boring, repetitive environments. And these projects are being built at such a large scale that they form the urban fabric that people live in, and it's not good for them.
Well, you also wonder whether these buildings that are being built right now are going to last for, 30 years or so. What is it going to look like then? When you look at some of the architecture that's out there today, there are some buildings that they were built decades ago and they look great today. And there are some where you're like, I don't know why we thought that style was a good idea in the 70s. And, it's going to be the first thing that comes down when somebody has some money to replace it.
Yeah, that is certainly true. I mean, there's style and then there's craftsmanship. And some stylistic moments were more felicitous than others. There's no question about that. I mean, those New York 1950s and 60s white enameled tiled brick apartment buildings on the Upper East Side were not a good stylistic decision.
Right. But the Art Deco that we see in Miami Beach was great. It still looks great today.
Okay, but the question is why? Why is that? It's because people need what they experience to speak to them, to pull them in, draw them in cognitively. We actually know that the way that most people respond to environments is not conscious, and yet the environments are having very profound effects on us. So the environments that, these buildings that we walk by, a Deco building or a Upper East Side white enamel tile brick apartment building, can draw you in, can engage you emotionally, can affect your emotional states. I mean, this is all research-based stuff. The science is very clear, but the research has not seeped out into the general public. And that's one of the things I wanted to say, is that there are a lot of other reasons why these buildings are so bad. Building codes perpetuate lack of innovation. Policymakers pretty much across the board don't value design. They don't recognize the public health dimensions of good design. And they're really profound.
So you're telling us what should be done. It doesn't look like
Correct.
It is what's being done right now.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean for our mood? Are we all going to be depressed forever?
No, it doesn't, because some good things are being done. The residential housing stock in the United States overall is a little bit better the new residential housing stock is better than it was 30 years ago. It's partly because some of these design principles have begun to be recognized, one. Two, sustainability issues. So people are trying to get green in wherever they can, even just symbolically. Three, new technologies are making it cheaper to combine materials in more complex ways and use better materials than was possible 30 years ago. And four, stylistic preferences have changed so that large, simple, repetitive patterns are now out of fashion, as they should be. There's a place for them, but as a fabric building in residential stuff, it's a bad idea.
That's Sarah Williams-Goldhagen, who is an architecture critic and author. Sarah, thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure.